All right, what's going on, everybody? America Unplugged, right here on Rockfin on AmericaUnplugged.com, AmericaUnpluggedRadio.podbeam.com. You can find it if you look for a podcast anywhere you can find podcast. You can find America Unplugged for the time being, anyway. So make sure you do it. Make sure you get it before the establishment attempts to get us. I fought the law, and the law won. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here with the usual suspects, as is customary. Every Saturday afternoon, where else would I be? My dude, the wise wolf, Mr. Tony Atterburn, what is going on?
Billy, great to be here. It's always the best part of my Saturday. I wanted to announce that I'm considering pulling my podcast off of Spotify in protest of myself. I haven't figured out the logic of it yet. The enemy of my enemy is my friend or something like that. But Yeah. Well, let's discuss that today for sure.
I think that's a good strategy. I think you should do it, man. I mean, I wanted to protest you a long time ago, but I didn't have the balls. So now, if you're doing it, I might go ahead and take your lead. And of course, the legendary Don Jeffries, the Sage of DC, is here with us. What's up, sir? How are you doing? We're happy to have you as usual.
Hey, how you doing, Billy? Always a pleasure. Like Tony said, this is a highlight for me doing this every week with you guys.
Fantastic. Okay, man. So, To Tony's point that he's protesting himself. So I want to talk a little bit about Joe Rogan. We've been talking about this for some time now, trying to find some direction as to what the fuck is going on, right? Or like, what is going on here? And I had Mark from Houstonic Live to talk about Robert Malone and how some things might be a little off there. Not that his message is wrong. You know, I think his message is correct, but there might be some things going on here. But anyway, all of these people are being filtered through the Joe Rogan show right now. People that have an anti-vaccine stance, for the most part, even though Robert Malone is offering another vaccine. So it's an anti-vaxxer offering his own vaccine. Regardless of that, Joe Rogan is the centerpiece here because he has been made into bigger than the mainstream. Biggest podcast in the history of podcast, right? And outdraws all the mainstream media, right? So it, in essence, Joe Rogan has become the mainstream because more people are flocking to them, to that message than whatever you're getting on TV. And if you think that the rulers, the powers that be, aren't aware of this, you got another thing coming. So what's being used here? Why is he being used, right? And David Knight said something yesterday or 2 days ago. I'm not sure. Tony might know. And it just, boom, it hit me like a ton of bricks because I'm here in front of my computer doing some homework and I'm listening to David Knight and he says it. And it's so simple. It's so simple. And it took me, I still didn't get to it until he got to it. I was like, why is this happening? Why are they allowing this message through? You know, why is Drudge Report putting out contrary narratives, right? And typically they wouldn't. This is the thing. Like, I mean, I can see the benefit of putting out contrary narratives, but typically this is not an outlet that would do that, and they're doing it now. So as far as the podcast goes, the biggest podcast in the world is putting out misinformation, right? They're putting out misinformation according to the alternative mainstream and of course the powers that be, right? It's bad science. It's anti-science. And David Knight said it yesterday. They're using Joe Rogan to bring down podcasts because podcast is the last avenue that they haven't brought down. They took apart YouTube, but now they're going to go to the audio format podcast and they're going to use Joe Rogan in order to get there. Joe Rogan is the biggest, right? So they're gonna try to censor him. They're gonna try to do a lot of things to him. And Joe Rogan isn't in it for the truth. He said it himself many times. He doesn't want to be the face of the truth movement, right? Or the freedom movement. He's not about that. He wants to do a show, collect his money, and go home. This isn't somebody we can rely on here. But we are the ones that are gonna end up affected by this big time. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Joe Rogan's not the alternative media. He's part of the media. He created something for himself. It's much like when the technology moves on, you know, the silent movie stars of the 20s, you know, that became the talkies, and the people that were the silent movie stars, they were kind of stunned by the change in technology, change in the venue. And same thing, you know, it's video kills the radio star. The podcast revolution, Joe Rogan was a huge part of that. I mean, if not the leader of podcasting, and my hat's off to him. I have a lot of respect for him. I don't agree with, you know, a lot of his stances, but I think that he's an honest journalist for the most part. I think he's a curious guy. He doesn't want to be a part of the truth movement. He's not trying. I don't think he's taking an ideological stance. But, you know, the sad part about Rogan is the people that want him censored, they won't take yes for an answer. Like he brings on Bernie Sanders. He brings on all points of view. He's never thanked for that. It's always he has to toe every line or he's going to be banished. And so I think if you look at the amount of influence that he's had and if you look at the space itself of podcasting, you know, Sam Tripoli says this is the new punk rock. He's absolutely right. The problem is that just like every new technology, whether if you remember the good old days of the internet before, like, you know, you could go on YouTube and have a viral video. You can't do that anymore unless you're straight down the line of the narrative. And that's really hard to do. You can't break through. I mean, this wasn't that long ago. So all of these spaces are the pioneers, the entrepreneurs, the free thinkers, the creative people create these spaces, and then they get captured by the lizard class and the people that want to control everything and make everything suck. And that is where we are. Rogan has taken it to the pinnacle where it's about to have a bifurcation point where it's about to break through, right? The tipping point. I think they want to control that. So that's why, look, I saw a video this morning, speaking of Rogan, he was apologizing for somebody gone back and taken out of context every time he's ever said the N-word on his podcast. And like, right. He would actually be referencing it in a way. It was never like used as an insult or anything like that. It was used in whatever context. And he talked about it. I watched the whole video. And I thought, this is where we are. Somebody, right? There's something sophisticated and funded going after Rogan right now. I don't think Rogan's controlled opposition is my opinion. I think he's more of a just a guy who's curious. He wants, and he brings a lot of people to the table who want to get interested in just long form conversation. We don't have that anymore. In the media used to have something like that, but they don't have that anymore. So they're going after podcasting. Rogan is going to have to, he's going to have to lead on this, whether he likes it or not. And if we don't do something about it, they're going to, I mean, look, you got people pulling everything by, we joked about it, pulling stuff from Spotify, but this is just the beginning. They're going to fracture this thing as much as they can and make it to where people don't want to start a podcast, where they don't want to go down the road. Or they're going to censor themselves. We're in that last free speech territory. This is dangerous ground.
So I don't think he's controlled the opposition to the point where he knows that he's being controlled and he's doing things nefariously. I don't think that. But I do think he's being used, you know, and they're using his platform to put out this message in hopes, right? In efforts to have it trickle down and have it affect the rest of us, right? And like you said, Joe Rogan's going to have to lead on this. I am not optimistic that he will. You know, I am not optimistic that he wants to, right? I think he's getting paid and he wants to continue to get paid. Well, I hope he proves me wrong. But if you remember, when the Joe Rogan Experience started taking off, he was very, he had a lot of, you know, alternative media type of views. You know, he was talking about a lot of alternative media type things, and then he stopped. And then he went back on them saying that those were bad ideas, in particular about 9/11. You know, he went back and started saying that. And then he got a huge deal with Spotify, right? He got paid. And now all of a sudden he's being, you know, now all of a sudden there's the whole anti-vax thing that he's actively pushing. And I think he's genuine. I think he feels the way he feels. I don't think he's lying. But I think this is being allowed, and his platform is being used as a tool, and I've thought this for a while that it's been used as a tool for something. I just didn't know for what. I was like, "What's the end game? What's the end game?" I think the end game is censoring podcasts.
I totally agree, and I definitely want to hear from Don, but I want to add one more thing. Mm-hmm. The lessons that we've all learned over the years, when you get into a situation where they start going after somebody like Rogan, is that you never complain, never explain, don't apologize, go forward, never apologize, never acquiesce, keep doing what you're doing. If he does that, I think that could, I mean, if you outlast the criticism, they eventually go on to something else. I mean, it'll get bad for a while, but that's the lesson learned from all of us. If you start getting into situations where you're getting attacked, like Rogan, for just simply having people on your podcast, never give up. Right. Don't ever apologize to these jackals.
Right. Gammy in the chat. What's up, Gammy? How you doing? There was somebody else there. I want to see what's up to. Joel Smith, what's up, buddy? How you doing? But Gammy says punk rock can be turned into pop rock,
yes,
by the elites, and that makes perfect sense. You look at Blink 182, good lord. But people seem to like that crap, right? Let me not call it crap. It wasn't awful, I guess. But yeah, like and look at Neil Young. Not that he was punk rock or whatever, but he had some edge to him, right? Like keep on rocking in the free world, and now he's like, you know. You guys are putting out anti-vaccine misinformation. I'm taking my entire catalog off of Spotify because that's really going to do something. Nobody gives a shit. But anyway, I get that point, Gammy. Mr. Don Jeffries, what is going on?
Yeah, well, I certainly I've been saying that for a while, that the when they first started deplatforming people, and they started with Alex Jones. And so you talk about Joe Rogan. He is the biggest podcaster, so they would naturally go after him first. Because if not enough people protest, and when they got rid of Alex Jones, I remember arguing at the time, and no, he's crazy, Sandy Hook and all this stuff. And I said, look, I don't care what you think about him. Right. This is horrible. They're not going to stop at him. And they went and they cut a swath through there. They got rid of most all the conspiracy people had gone from YouTube. And there was very little protest, including, of course, first and foremost, from the the giant orange actor Trumpenstein, because you know, he benefited from all that. Just he, you know, forgot about Julian Assange too. He should have said something right away. Alex Jones, you know, almost lost how many fans by going overboard and supporting the ridiculous Trump. So he should have loved the guy, and he was on his show once, but he said nothing about it. And that's the problem, is nobody speaking out. If Joe Rogan gets canceled, it's not impossible that he will. Nobody, I mean, who would speak out? I mean, people like, you're talking about Neil Young and especially Joni Mitchell, who's one of my all-time favorites. And I was really, I'm hoping it's the Morgellons disease or whatever, which, by the way, the medical industrial complex doesn't recognize Joni, you know, the one you're trusting. But, Joni Mitchell was the female Dylan. I mean, I loved her stuff. And I just really did. Neil Young, you know, I liked him. But, I mean, I don't know what it is. But it's very disillusioning. And they're all, you know, there are a bunch more coming out and saying they're going to take, which is ironic because Spotify, as I showed on Borrowed Fame, pays the artist almost nothing. So Neil Young is probably losing about $25 a month or whatever he gets paid from there, because I don't know how many people are down, you know, are listening to his music anymore now anyhow. But once again, we see the artistic community and, of course, the left, because they're still on the left, and they're somehow still thinking it's the Woodstock left, and it's not. It's the woke authoritarian left. Right. And they just instinctively go always to the side of censorship. So, and they love canceling people. So they'll get a big can. You know, Rogan is kind of, I mean, although Rogan is, he was a Bernie Sanders supporter. He's not like he's a right-wing extremist, but he kind of fits their image. You know, he's a UFC guy, he's muscle bound, he's got the shaved head. So they probably think, well, you know, I don't know about this guy. You know, he's you know, he probably doesn't believe in transgender bathrooms. I don't know. That's, they may be thinking that, but, it's really disturbing to see the way the left responds to this. And again, it's a question of, I don't know much about Joe Rogan. I mean, I've heard, somebody told me that he mentioned Hidden History on his show, or he knows about Hidden History, which it shocked me. But apparently Tim Dillon or somebody that's on his show a lot is a fan of mine. That's what that guy, Chris, my big researcher, tells me. I don't know if it's true, but I mean, that's pretty cool if it is. But, but, you know, still, it doesn't matter. And again, just like Alex Jones, regardless what you think of Rogan's beliefs, this is supposed to be marketplace driven, right? Isn't that what the right tells us all the time? You know, the marketplace decides. Well, the marketplace should have decided in Alex Jones's case, where he was maybe the most successful guy on YouTube. It didn't matter. They canceled him. Rogan is clearly the top podcaster, the biggest name on Spotify. So, and Spotify kind of did react that way, where they kind of, you know, said to Neil Young, you know, take your music at first, but then they kind of, now they're going to put a disclaimer on Rogan's stuff, and, yeah, and they'll cave. Everybody, like you guys said about apologists, I'm still waiting for the first person. And if I get big enough, I'll be that first person. If that happens, got that bit, to not apologize and to tell them to shove it up there. You know, I mean, just say, this is ridiculous. And just use the free speech defense. You know, I don't care what you think about what I said. I said what I said. I had the First Amendment rights just like you do. And but nobody does that. They always collapse. They always, you know, crumble. And I don't know if you want to wait to talk about Whoopi Goldberg, but that's, you know, that's it's kind of related. But it's
jump into it, Don, if you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's related. And again, it's the kind, it's anybody who knows about me knows I'm certainly not a fan of Whoopi Goldberg or anybody in The View. I mean, God, that's, you know, to me, that show should be played, you know, at Guantanamo Bay if you want to bring back torture.
The View's the new punk rock, Don.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean it's just a horrible show. And I, you know, I've never, although Whoopi did recently, and I wonder if that she did, was kind of an odd choice of Oliver Stone to narrate part of the JFK Revisited documentary he did that aired online. So maybe she's you know, maybe she's got some you know, she's awake on a few issues. But I've never been a fan of hers. To me, she's a typical, you know, shrill, woke, especially black woman who, you know, doesn't, who just hates white, or that's what she hates whites, or that's what she's saying, although she was married to Ted Danson, a white guy at one time. But what she said here, and it wouldn't matter what she said, but it's interesting. She didn't dispute the Holocaust. Now, if she had claim the Holocaust didn't happen or was exaggerated, then we know she wouldn't have been suspended for 2 weeks. You'd never see her on media again, ever. She wouldn't even end up on Joe Rogan. She'd be lucky to get on our podcast if that happened. But she didn't do that. She said, you know, very, I don't know. I said, what's the controversy here? She basically said something which was very true.
What'd she say?
She said basically it was white people doing things to white people. It had nothing to do with race. And that, in that respect, she's exactly right. Whatever you think happened, it was white on white crime, or however you want to say it. And she was attacked. And I found it ironic because if you're familiar with, you know, a lot of my fans, believe me, I know what they mean. If you've seen the little, when they want to talk about Jews, they have the bars around them. I'm sure you've seen that online, you know, and that's
right. Code.
I get that all the time. But one of their things is, you know, whenever I say something about a Jew that's white, you know, obviously they'll say he's not white. So the conspiracy, that part of the conspiracy world who are obsessed with Jews don't believe Jews are white.
Right.
But ironically, apparently Jews don't either, because that was basically, like I said, what is the controversy here? What were they reacting to Whoopi saying that Jews were white? And so what does that mean? Does that mean the people that are really anti-Semitic and Jews themselves are in agreement on this? I said, what is the controversy? I don't get it. Because again, she said nothing about disputing the 6 million or anything about the Holocaust. All she did was say that, you know, basically the Jews are white. And so I find it, you know, incredible. And now I think she probably, because she's been an outspoken black and been a good woke warrior, she only got the 2 weeks suspended and didn't get canceled off the show for good, which probably would have happened if she didn't have that history. But you have to stand up for free speech. And even if she had a dispute of the Holocaust, if she had said, you know, that Nazis were actually reptilians or whatever she had said, she has the right to say that. Just like everybody else does, you have to defend free speech. And that's, I'm a civil libertarian, so it wouldn't matter. People I can't stand, you know, I defend Hillary Clinton's right to free speech. I mean, she certainly has it, but you know, if any of us do, but you have to defend free speech. So I find it, you know, ironic. And I saw online, you know, again, that the right especially is, in fact, I saw Scott Baio was on Fox the other day, and he basically came out and said, can we just say that the Holocaust, we don't go there. We just don't talk about it. And it's like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. You can't say that about anything. You have to be able to freely discuss these things. So it's interesting. And Whoopi at first, I'm not sure, you know, she certainly didn't seem like one to back down, but we saw what happened when Spike Lee, who certainly isn't even angrier black, And he his special on 9/11, originally he had people from Architects for Engineers for 9/11 Truth on to give their comments, and he was blasted by everybody, and he folded. He folded like the biggest cuck you've ever seen. And I said, well, okay, I'm not going to believe this guy, you know, is some kind of a, a never back down radical again. But hopefully Whoopi won't do that. So far, I'm not really sure what she's saying, but we really need to have somebody stand up and say, I'm not going to apologize for what I said. Obviously, this is a matter of free speech, but we have to come to the conclusion that the left doesn't believe in free speech. And here you had much of the right, which clearly doesn't believe in this kind of free speech, because the right is now turned into, you know, the worshiper of Israel.
Oh, you're absolutely right, too. And this is how, when these subjects come up, when these type of events happen, when somebody's getting canceled, like Whoopi, I get to take more people off the list of people that I respect. Like when I see somebody like, oh, well, Whoopi needs to go. That's a typical partisan brain dead. A response. And I think that, okay, that person's intellectually useless to me. And I see that on my Twitter feed, and so-called conservatives, you know, they like, we're about free speech. I stand with so-and-so. And then when something happens to Whoopi or some celebrity or somebody from the left, they're like, this person needs to be canceled.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so you're useless. And this all goes back to free speech. You know, if you have the First Amendment on, if we keep that intact, we can fight and we can right a lot of wrongs. But if we don't have that, then, you know, pretty much all this is useless. You're just basically in an echo chamber until you get completely censored. But, you know, I think that where we're going to with the podcast, gentlemen, is that people want authentic things. They long for it, whether or not, you know, we're not seeing the giant audiences yet. But it's coming. I really do. And I think people will go and find outlets that are free speech driven. And that will be a big shift in the marketplace. It's just not happening today.
Right. Right. Let's see what develops. That's where we have to build our own, because can't trust anybody else to keep those platforms up and running if it goes counter to the money and counter to the mainstream. As far as Jews not being white goes, right? Because this was a thing. Like, I was like, I thought they were white. I had no idea, you know. And Jared Taylor of the alt-right makes an argument that Jews are not white, that they're not white, that they are of Turkish descent that converted into Jews, something like that, something to that effect. So that's where it comes from. The far alternative right, and I mean the really far, you know, like a Jared Taylor or a Richard Spencer, people like that, that are outright racist. I mean, and they don't call themselves racist. They said they're realist. No, you're a freaking racist. Yeah, that's you're a real racist is what you are. But they have these ideas, and it's almost like flat earth. You can I love flat earthers, you know, like, so it's not that I'm comparing them to the alt-right in that manner, but you can talk to a flat earther and they know their stuff, and they'll be able to justify what they're trying to say, whether it be wrong or right. They know their stuff. That's what Jared Taylor does. Jared Taylor knows.
He's brilliant.
He's really brilliant. Smart guy. You know, Richard Spencer is also a smart guy, not as smart as Jared Taylor. Jared Taylor's no joke, but I think he's fundamentally wrong, but he knows his stuff, and he will try to argue that. He will not try. He will argue the point that, Jews are not white people.
Right.
I don't know. But that's where it all comes from. What's up, Tom? Hey.
Well, and that's the argument about anti-Semitism. Like, a Semite person is somebody of the descent of like a Sumerian, you know, the Israelites. That, like, a Semite is somebody who is like a Palestinian or Arab. That's Semitic, where you get that term. And the modern, like, this is just hitting open history, like the Ashkenazi, the Jews, they come from the Khazaria, you know, the Khazars, and they're from like the Caucasus Mountains, like this on the steppes of Russia. That's where a lot of the modern day, the ancestry of the modern day Jews come from. I guess that's the majority would be. And so those are white people. I mean, am I missing something here? So again, I don't. The whole argument is ridiculous, and you can't even like Scott Baio was saying, we should just not even talk about it. Forget all the history. You can't talk about history. You can't talk about reality. Yeah. And you got to watch what you say. And I find that whole, I find the whole thing exhausting.
I think that, again, it's when we think about race card being played in racial politics, it's almost always revolves around blacks and whites. But this is ironic that here you had a black woman and she mentioned something about a group that, you know, most of us rationally think of as a religion. I mean, I'm a Catholic. Is that not white? I mean, is that something separate? Makes no sense. Why are Jews, you know? So I didn't think, but we need to have a discussion about this, and you can. And this is why you have genuine anti-Semitic people that really hate Jews. And it is born out of the fact that you can't talk about their obvious disproportionate power. They're 2% of the population, and they're the president of every television network, and they always have been. They've most often been the president of every film company. That kind of stuff has to be talked about, because that either say, okay, yeah, somehow they're superior by virtue of their religion, whatever you care, which I don't believe for a second, or it's another case of in-house favoritism. It's a kind of old boy network. But I'll talk about it. I don't care. I'm not. And I tell people right now, when they talk about white, the vast majority of my relatives in my very large family are part Jewish, because my sister, my mother's sister married a guy who was Jewish and converted to Catholicism. So that, she had 9 kids, a couple of her kids, 7. So all my had 7 each. So all my tons of cousins I have, almost all of them have some, either half Jewish, third quarter Jewish or whatever. So, they're all white as far as I can see, so what is it? So what is it? If you're a partial Jew, are you half white? I mean, it's a kind of thing, it makes no sense. And that's why it's so stupid to continue to talk about race. That's why I hate it. I try to keep it on, let's talk about the plight of the poor people, not just black poor people, right. Poor people, right. It is what it is. Same thing with this, but we have to address the question of you can't. And when someone, Scott Baio, says we can't talk about the Holocaust, that's basically saying we can't talk about Jewish power and Jewish influence. And we have to be able to talk about that, because if you mention it, you're not a hater, you're making an observation, and it's one of the many, that the emperor is wearing no clothes. Hey, why is the president of every television network, where we're getting all this misinformation, real misinformation and lies, everyone has I think always been a Jew, with the exception of Ted Turner when he started CNN originally. And I'm sure, it's not the case anymore. But so people need to, maybe you can say it's good that it is what it is. You can't talk about it. You mean to tell me if look what we talk about now, where they talk about, too many whites in a particular position. They don't talk about that. Do you wonder why Black Lives Matter doesn't say something about why is the president of every network white? Because apparently it's different. They're Jews, and that's it. So we need to figure out what what are we talking about here? But that's the reason why you have hatred of Jews, because of the fact the you can't talk about this. If you can't, I remember Montel Williams, who, I didn't like, but he had a talk show host at one time, and he was going to have a show where they were going to debate the Holocaust. And, that never happened on television before. And they put so much pressure on him, and he had to withdraw the show at the last minute. Why? I mean, this is something you ought to be able to debate anything. And if these anti-Semitic loonies or wackos or whatever you call them, if they don't have any kind of information, or they're obviously, insane or whatever, you ought to be able to destroy them, right? In any kind of debate, you have to have that open debate. And, someone writes about history, and I don't think you can say that we've been lied to about history except for that one event. That one's sacrosanct and we can't talk about it. But I think it's interesting, and I hope Whoopi stands her ground. Right now, you're not hearing too much about her. But I said this before, I think the greatest chance that we have to really preserve free speech or expand it is for a high-profile Black to not back down. But so far, you know, Spike Lee backed down, and Whoopi, I don't know what kind of fight is left in her, because I know no white is they're going to back down and fold instantly. So we need somebody to stand up and say, no, this is ridiculous. You're not going to cancel me. You're not going to shame me. It's not against the law to have any opinion, no matter what it is. It's not against the law to say, at least in America, it is in most of the other countries. It's not against the law to say we've been lied to about the Holocaust. It's not a lie, and certainly isn't against the law to say the Holocaust that wasn't about race, as Whoopi did. So we have to decide as a country, you know, do we want free speech? And unfortunately, I said, I think that the most Americans probably now don't want free speech.
Well, if this was on a major network or like a CNN, would there be a little sign up that says we're experiencing technical difficulty?
Oh yeah, long ago. Yeah.
15 yes. minutes ago. So, I would say, though, is ironic that the Black History Month kicks off, and then the next day, Whoopi's censored and removed from the show.
Yeah.
The wonderful woke people at the mainstream media.
Yeah.
always doing their worst. So.
Yeah.
It's extremely interesting, man. and I think you're right. We shouldn't shy away from debate in any subject, right? If you're right, you're right, right? And you should be able to argue that point, right? And if you're wrong, you lose the debate, right? Or unless you're a better debater than the person who stands on the right, which is very possible. But regardless, it's something that should be nurtured, right? We should be able to have these conversations on mainstream media, but they're afraid that somebody will be persuaded in the other direction. And typically that's because there's holes in the story. We've been lied to historically for a long, long time now, you know, and what that does to the actual narrative, depending on the severity of the lie, you know, is something else, but they don't want that out there, and they don't want open debate about the Holocaust. Like, I don't know. I know what I was taught in school. That's all I know. I wasn't around during the Holocaust. I don't know anybody that was involved in that. You know, I know it was a serious deal. I don't know about the numbers. I don't know about any of that. That's because I legit have no idea. I haven't looked into it. Right. I've heard people talk about the numbers are greatly exaggerated. And some of the concentration camps, and they saw, I forget, somebody showed soccer fields where the people that they had prisoner would play soccer, you know, and all this other stuff. Like, I mean, there's variations in the narratives, right? Who knows who's right, you know? But the thing is, people should be able to argue it openly on television, and that's not a thing. Right. Can't do it. You can't do it on radio either. You have an issue if you do stuff like that. And it's trickling down. That was the first step of the slippery slope. Now we're done. Now we've gone through it where we can't argue anything anymore. And the vaccine is another thing. You can't argue that. You can't. You know, and you would think, you know, it's life-saving technology. You would think, why aren't people lining? Well, some people are lining up, but why aren't all Americans or everybody around the world, you know, people in France are losing their minds right now. You know, how come they're not lining up to get this vaccine? How come?
Well, it's the same thing, Billy, right? As far as, you know, a Holocaust denial, which I hate that term, and they're using that for other things now.
Right.
But basically it's vaccine denial or COVID denial, whatever. When you refuse to debate somebody about any issue and you demonize them for even having the audacity to hold that opinion or make this claim, then you make open-minded people like me think, they must have a point, you know, because why are you afraid? Same thing, you know, the people on the side of the medical industrial complex, they could easily get Fauci or one of his minions out there, some mainstream doctor. Let's have a debate. And let's have one of the guys one of the many people from the other side, Gunther Fulmich or Scott Jensen, any of these many doctors that are very skeptical about what's going on. And let's see what happens. Let's debate because if what you're saying is so beyond, you know, again, like the Holocaust or whatever, it's etched in stone. So to even, you know, go against it is misinformation and you must be canceled and denied a platform. Let's see what happens in a debate and see if people maybe, you know, because obviously you're scared that people will be persuaded by the other side when they see that the establishment side has no answer except to call names. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the strategy in all this. So you need to have free and open debate, Ed, but you know, you also need free speech. And like I said, I don't, you know, this America 2.0 does not believe in free speech.
No, it does not exist. Tony Otterburn, what's up, man?
Well, you know, the Armenian genocide, you're not supposed to talk about that either, but for different reasons on the opposite end of the spectrum because of geopolitical issue. The truth is the truth, and talking about things brings and sheds light. That's you look, if you want to have a slogan of never again, which is the slogan of the the organizations to educate about the Holocaust, well, you have to have people discussing it. You know, it can't just be one thing that just disseminates the information, then no one can discuss it at all. It's got to be the free exchange of ideas, and that way we can guard against genocide of all kinds. I'm anti-war. You know, I'm for humanity. I don't think the death cult of our modern day military industrial complex, I expose that all the time. That's not a very popular thing, right? Because you can get in the way of patriotism. Everybody has their sacred cow, right? But that's the great thing about this show is we just smash them all. We'll talk about anything. And it doesn't come from a place of hate. It doesn't come from and you know, everything Don said was 100% spot on. Just let's have a free discourse. Let's put our emphasis on that, on the free exchange of ideas. If you have that, then you're going to do a lot to stop crimes against humanity. Actually, that's really the only way to stop it. It's right. Truth.
Tone, what did you have this week, brother?
Oh, besides the giant golden cube put in Central Park, I was going to talk about that yesterday. I mean, did you see this story, Billy? Some artist put in this cube, and I wanted to read something to you.
What's that?
About this is out of a history of gold, and I know it's kind of funny, but the first gold, the amount of gold that was in the world before the discovery of the quote unquote new world, all of the gold from all of the empires leading up to the 15th century could be put in a 6-foot cube.
Really?
All of it. So like the ancient Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, all of that, the Sumerians, all the gold in the known world in civilization prior to the beginning of the, you know, the 14th, 15th century, you could put into a 6-foot cube. Now they have this story. This is kind of off. Some artist put together this 24 karat gold cube, then put it in Central Park. And I thought, well, you know, that's, it's kind of like putting, a pallet of filet mignon out for the homeless people to look at. Like we're the wealth disparity in this country. What's going on with artists? I guess this is a complete deviation from our topic, but I don't know. It's kind of showing the I'm a gold guy, but I thought that was weird.
I'm probably gonna venture into the city today, and I'll go see this gold this lump of gold just laying in Central Park. See if I can take it with me like Daffy Duck. It's mine. It's all mine. I'll take a picture and stuff. Flip something else, put something else in there, see what happens. But I'll send it to you guys in chat. But yeah, man. I hadn't heard of this until you brought it up. But it's a slap in the face to people economically right now that are dealing with so much crap, in particular here in New York. You go to Central Park, it's a gorgeous park. It's beautiful. I think, you know, I love going through Central Park. You will see homeless people there, a lot of them. And even around the perimeter of the place, you're going to see homeless people there. So there's a big slab of gold just sitting there for on display. You know, it's like, what the hell? You know, what are you thinking, Don?
Oh, maybe it's the elite's way of sharing the wealth. So you get to see the gold there, you know, as you're, you know, maybe you sleep next to it, although you'd probably be arrested, that's, I guess, art. For sleeping next to it. But yeah, boy, that's
look at that art, guys. Leonardo da Vinci, eat your heart out. There's a right.
Like, well, who could do something like that?
That's typical American art.
Who is this artist? Do we know?
It says it in the article. Let me see if I can find it.
He's representing the golden cube of Saturn.
The artist, Nicholas Castello.
Oh, gosh.
It was made of 24 karat 9999 gold and weighed 410 pounds. Again, wow. All the gold in the known world, gentlemen, before the 15th century could fit into a 6-foot cube. According to the History of Gold by Matthew Hart, I have it on my bookshelf. I always thought that was an interesting fact. And now we just kind of throw it out and let the plebes take a look at what could be all the wonderful gold. I don't know. Something just bothered me about the story, and I thought I'd throw it to you guys, see what you thought.
No, absolutely. I mean, it would bother the hell out of me. You know, it does bother me at this point. Like, art in general like this bothers me because I don't think there's anything to it. Maybe somebody right. in the chat or maybe somebody listening can clue me in. But in my entire life on this planet, I've never been able to understand why these things are called art. And I wanted to talk to you about that when you brought it up. And I forgot this guy's name. I'm looking for it right now. That made art out of dead skulls. Like, I mean, out of the skulls of dead people. Like, first off, how did you get access to the skull? Second, you take diamonds, like super expensive diamonds, and cover the skull with diamonds. Where'd you get access to the diamonds? Like, how is this being done? And what's so special about this? Exactly. Like, why is this a thing? So this guy has a gold cube, literally. It's not the cosmic cube. It's just a gold cube. There's nothing else to look at from what I'm seeing right now.
Billy Ray, we know now that the CIA backed and financed so-called modern art from the very beginning. So that we had people like Jackson Pollock, who, if you've seen his art consisted of basically one time, like he killed some kind of a bug or something, and he smashed it on his canvas. And he just left it there because he thought it added to the art. That's the kind of, and if you've seen, it's just a hodgepodge. And basically when I look at, you know, Michelangelo or Rembrandt or something, I'm looking at Salvador Dali, even certainly Hieronymus Bosch, who's my favorite artist. If you look at these things, you're looking at something, wow, that very few people can do. You know, it's a special gift, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at something like that gold cube, or if you look at any kind of, you know, a pop art painting where there's a little square in the middle and a circle around it or something, it's like, you know, everybody can do that. That's not art. But that's the whole, you know, whole idea behind them. They wanted to destroy art. They wanted to destroy beauty. And it's again, it's about degrading the culture, and it's no accident the CIA was financing it. And people ought to, you know, that would be questioned. I mean, however you look at it, what is the CIA doing involved in that? But they absolutely were, much as they were involved in financing magazines like their asset, Gloria Steinem's Ms. Magazine, and things like that. They were there to try to debase the culture. And as we see today, they certainly succeeded.
I just put something together back there. It came from my mind. I call it pensive. It's a square.
What do you see?
A circle within a circle within a circle and a dot.
That's right.
I saw it, but I just sent you $10,000. Enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's how art works, right? You just make something useless and then somebody gives you money.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm accepting donations. I'll sell this thing.
We'll do an NFT out of your whiteboard.
So Damien Hirst was the name of the guy. You know, I just looked him up, that made the skull with diamond studs on him. And I was telling Tony before we went on air that he also made a shark, right? A shark in a giant pool of water. It was a dead shark. It was here in New York, you know? And I'm like, okay, like, where did you get access to a dead shark?
It represents the hopelessness of mankind, man. Right. You don't get, you know, that's it.
It's some nonsense. Yeah. I don't understand it. But you know what? To keep it conspiratorial, not that Damien Hirst isn't enough, right? Because Damien, right, and Lucifer and all this other stuff, right? You can start dabbling on there, but Marina Abramovich. I mean, come on. How is this woman, and this is what makes me think in a conspiratorial manner. Like, how has she been relevant? Literally throwing blood on a wall and saying that it's art, or sitting there, like people pay to sit down and stare at her for about 5 minutes. And then they get up and leave, and somebody else sits down and stares at her after that. And they're looking at each other for 5 minutes. And then they rotate and rotate. And it's on YouTube. Tons of people waiting to stare at Marina Abramovich. And this is considered art. Yeah. This is considered art. This is crazy shit. This is lunacy.
real artists have nowhere to go today outside of maybe comic books. I mean, where are the real artists now? Maybe the best comic. My friend Peter Sikosh is a great artist that did the cover for On Borrowed Fame. He does a lot of great comic book stuff. I don't know anywhere else. I don't. Do you see any classical paintings by new painters? No. Everybody they know. You know, they're playing the game that the CIA started.
Wow, man. We should get into that a little bit more. Good. About the CIA and how they and why, to what end, right? Why would they
exactly
do that? You know,
they're trying to stop the Russians. They were fighting the Cold War.
it's the same reason why the financial system looks like it's super complicated, but it's really not. That's the way modern art is supposed to look. It suits like it's really complicated, but it's actually not. It's just garbage.
Right.
And that's what you're supposed to be mystified by it, because then you can't find truth. Right, then you can't find equilibrium if things are out of your grasp, because you look at it and you go, I don't get it. Like, oh, you don't get it. Well, you're not part of us, right? You don't have that same instinct. You don't have the insight. That's why you don't get it. Well, the fact that you don't get it is correct, right? That's the whole thing. I think that's something I find looking at the financial system, and just the more I study it, I go, wait a minute, this is complicated for no reason, and it's meant to make it look like a priestly class,
right? Gammy says that the cube reminds him of the Hajj, right? And if you look into that, right, there's a giant cube that's supposed to and correct me if I'm wrong, no disrespect to any Muslims, I have whatever.
It's the Kaaba.
Right, the Kaaba. You're absolutely, and that means cube. That's exactly what it means, right? And it has a stone from or a rock, a space rock, supposedly inside of it, right?
There was 360 gods in the old Arabic, I believe the old Arabic pagan religions.
Wow.
And the last god was the moon god, and that's the one they kept, which was the black rock.
Now, how come it represents Saturn though? So there's a bunch somebody explained this to me. Somebody came on the Fringe and explained this to me, and they said, well, there's a lot of different symbolism in all religions, but in the Muslim religion as well, because they say that it's moon worship. And then I asked some of my Muslim friends, I'm like, is it moon worship? And they tell me, no, it's not.
That's why the crescent, you know,
the crescent moon. Right. But they say that has nothing to do with their religion. You know, I mean, at least the people that I've spoken to. But other people, like deep researchers on symbolism, they say, yeah, like it's moon worship. But then the Kaaba itself is supposed to represent Saturn, right? The black cube and everybody walking around it, right, is the rings of Saturn. At least this is what I've been told by people that have researched this. So there's a bunch of stuff that every time I see a cube, it reminds me of Saturn now. Like, it's programmed in my brain. So that it is what it is. We're getting up out of here. Tony Atterburn, tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you can find me at arterburn.news, my website, or wisewolf.gold. If you need information or need to buy or sell precious metals, that's your place. And I'm working out when I'm going to do my daily broadcast again, but I'm on rockfin.com on the America Unplugged channel if you want to find the Arterburn radio transmission.
Fantastic. Mr. Donald Jeffries, what's up?
The Donald Jeffries Show airs every Wednesday on Ocelli.com from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. iProtest is coming back with my new producer, Tony Arterburn. We're still going to be talking about that on there. So details will be coming there. You can find my writing on DonaldJeffries.media or DonaldJeffries.news. And my latest book, On Borrowed Fame, is out there. And, you know, hopefully people will check that out as well.
Fantastic. My name is Billy Ray Valentine, and I'm putting this up for sale. Tony Atterburn has already bid $10,000 for my art that I just created, Pensive. It'll be on the block. Anybody that wants in, hit me up at theinfinitefringe@gmail.com. You guys know the deal. This isn't going to last. I'm telling you. Next week, it'll be gone. It won't be there, but I'll come up with something else because I got it like that. I'll come up with something revolutionary next week, paint it, and sell it to you guys. Billy the Kid, make sure you guys go over to the Infinite Fringe. I just put up an episode with April Hunter talking about the vax and talking about everything that's going on. April's very smart. Go listen. And she's also super cute if you want to look her up. There you have that. TheInfiniteFringe.podbeam.com, The Infinite Fringe on Apple Podcast, the whole deal. Okay. And of course, America Unplugged. And you guys are here listening, so I shouldn't be preaching to the choir. But you know what you can do? You know what you can do. There's a lot of people that listen, and we don't have the reviews to reflect the people that are listening. I want people to go over there and give us a 5-star review. If you want to give us a 4-star review, just forget about it. Don't do it. If you're going to give us a five-star review, please go over there, give us a five-star review, and spread it far and wide. If you hate it, send it to your enemies. You know the deal. We'll all right. What's up, buddy?
We'll read them on air. Give us a five-star review. We'll read it if you write something in there.
That's dope.
Yeah,
we're going to read whatever's there now. And if you put up a five-star review, we'll read it on air right here. Mr. Tony Atterburn and his sultry voice, he will take care of that, and he will read it to you. All right. We're getting up out of here. Don't burn the place down while we're gone. Take it easy now. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Hey, Patrick. What's up, Patrick? How you doing? Hold on. Let me shout out a couple of other people. I think Patrick is and Joel. It's Patrick and Joel and Gammy this week. God bless you guys. What's up, Ryan? I see Ryan Forrest in there. What's going on with you? Hope you're doing well. And everybody listening after the fact, we appreciate you. Everybody that tips us, we appreciate the hell out of that. That's really cool of you. All right? Take it easy now. Bye-bye.